For the Premier's Daily Brief today, you will hear the full audio from a press conference held Friday, September 22nd, with all government ministers providing updates on their portfolios. You will first hear from our Premier and Minister for Finance, Honourable Dr. D. Orlando Smith, followed by Deputy Premier and Minister for Natural Resources and Labour, Honourable Dr. Kedrick Pickering, followed by Minister for Health and Social Services, Honourable Ronnie W. Skelton, followed by Minister for Education, Culture and Youth Affairs, Honourable Myron V. Walwyn, and lastly, from Minister of Communication and Works, Honourable Mark Vanderpool.
As Premier of the Virgin Islands, I'm pleased to report on progress with the recovery efforts following the passage of Hurricanes Irma and Maria. Devastation is obvious to all, but I want you to know that your government is committed to leading the territory through this challenging time. I must thank the international community for the support. Many countries and organizations came to our aid immediately following Hurricane Irma. I also thank Governor Jaspert. He has been working continuously with United Kingdom offices and agencies to provide assistance, such as additional security forces, as well as the two ships that immediately responded with supplies following Hurricane Irma, and for the support. Today I'm pleased to be joined by my colleagues who will join on reporting on their actions taken to date. I want to stress that the rebellion in the Virgin Islands cannot and will not happen overnight. My government will also be using the opportunity that Hurricane brought to reset our compasses and to get a few things right. We will be inviting you to share in the redevelopment process through town hall meetings. Our immediate priorities are food, shelter, electricity, water, telecommunications, education, and business continuity. As it relates to one of our main industries, tourism, after an initial assessment of damages done, all marketing efforts are suspended and the board continues to concentrate its efforts on supporting and speaking with tourism stakeholders locally, as well as monitoring and responding to media coverage globally. Despite losses, charter companies are already working to ensure guests enjoy the sailing capital of the world this coming tourist season. By the end of November, at least one property had made it clear that they will have 120 boats in the water. I have no doubt that others will do the same. I want to encourage businesses, large and small, to commence refurbishing and restocking. I have noticed that a few more businesses have started open, and this contributes greatly in keeping our local economy going, but also raising our spirits and encouraging others to start rebuilding. On last week Thursday, I started a series of meetings with business owners in the community. I will continue those meetings next week on the western end of Tortola and on Virgin Gorda. It is a priority for me to ensure that our local businesses are up and running and that they continue to provide goods and services to us, but also jobs to our people for the continuation of our economy. Today I'd like to announce the government will be creating a special business development fund. Businesses will be able to apply for loans within the next 2 weeks. We'll be looking at various agencies to assist us with adding to this fund. I've appointed the Director of Trade Department, Kara Christopher, with the job of liaison officer during this rebellion phase. Our ports are presently functioning as normal, receiving humanitarian aid, with the manifest being sent to BVID mirma@gmail.com. Individuals and businesses are permitted to import supplies to assist in the rebuilding effort. To support this effort, government has decided to waive all taxes for importers, bringing in particular supplies until the end of December 2017. These supplies are food and water, building material, electrical fixtures and materials, plumbing fixtures and materials, household furniture, furnishings and appliances, pharmaceuticals, generators, and cleaning supplies. This list will be reviewed certainly at the end of that three-month period and possibly before, as needed. Government has also ordered and received pledges of generators. We expect them to be available within the coming weeks, and these generators will be donated to businesses. I have referred to the issue of price gouging before. Again, I urge businesses to be reasonable. Now is the time for us to work together as a community. There have been questions pertaining to work permit and immigration status of residents who were outside the territory at the time of Hurricane Irma or who subsequently left days after. Let me make it clear that persons with valid work permits, property owners and long-term residents of the territory are free to return once our airport becomes open for commercial flights. Work permit holders have up to 3 months after their permits have expired to sort out their immigration status. They've also relaxed the labor and immigration policy to the expedited processing of skilled workers that would be needed to support businesses in the rebuilding process. As I've shared before, the Monday following Hurricane Irma, I met with banks and insurance companies to quickly address matters of liquidity and processing of insurance claims. All companies continue to reaffirm their commitment to supporting the rebuilding of our territory. Today, the following banks have come out with public statements as it pertains to loan reprieves for personal, auto, mortgages, and business loans for an initial 3 months. They are the National Bank of the Virgin Islands, Banco Popular, Scotia Bank, First Bank, and First Group Bank, and all banks have also asked customers to come in and speak with a representative, and have strongly encouraged residents to do this, to bring some ease to their lives as we go through this rebuilding phase. The Monday following the passage of Hurricane Irma, our financial services industry continued their work. Our services play a key role in business development globally, so our system and industry partners have always planned for business continuity. This allowed the financial services industry to be protected, and as a result, industry partners are able to access our online incorporation system, Virgin anywhere in the world. The commercial division of our High Court will resume operation on Monday, September 25th in Castries, St. Lucia, to facilitate the continuation of business. I want to thank the financial services industry for their continued faith in the Virgin Islands. Their dedication and swift action ensure that our business continues unaffected. I cannot thank enough public servants who have selflessly demonstrated their commitment to the Virgin Islands as they worked around the clock in and with the national emergency operations. Service organizations such as Rotary have again demonstrated their commitment to our islands. To our public servants, I want to say again, thank you for your service. However, it is a new day in the Virgin Islands, and we'll be calling on you even more to help lead the change in rebuilding. This has been a sobering experience for all of us, but it's also an opportunity for us to reset our compasses, to grow strong as a community, and to exhibit that community spirit, strength, and independence Virgin Islanders of generation have demonstrated, which led us to building one of the greatest economies in our region. Thank you.
A pleasant good morning to all of the media gathered here this morning, and thank you for the work that you've been doing on behalf of the territory to help especially the Premier communicate his messages during what has been some very difficult times. The subject matter under my ministerial control, that of natural resources and labor, and the airport, as you can well imagine, have been one of the hardest hit in terms of direct results from the storms that have just passed us. It is fair to say that our environment has been shaken up quite a bit, and as I feared before the storm, that we would have significant coastal damage from the surges and the high waves that we eventually experience. I'm sure that at some point in time someone will ask the question about climate change and its impact on us, but we leave that for later on. But I want to say a few words about the airport, because that has been one of the main areas that certainly my ministry have been concentrating on since the passage of Hurricane Irma. 2 days after the storm, we were able to have the airport reopen only for private and charter flights. I must take this opportunity to thank the IAM Jet Center at the airport for their cooperation and the commitment of the staff to ensure that flights coming and leaving were facilitated under very difficult circumstances. The opening of that center allowed for the airport to operate once the military was on the ground and were able to secure the premises. As a result, significant amount of aid has arrived through the airport, especially from the British and Canadian military. And those who were wishing to leave initially and were able to purchase tickets via private aircraft certainly had the opportunity to do so, and quite a large number of persons have taken the opportunity to do just that. With respect to the issue of labor, the Premier mentioned earlier that we have basically given a moratorium on work permits, meaning that if you are a work permit holder and you've had to leave the country for whatever reason, whether to go elsewhere to work or whether to take family or to relocate, as in the case specifically of hotel workers who are more than likely out of a job, we have said that your work permit, especially if it expires during the next 3 months, shall be facilitated in being able to have your work permit renewed without any problems. Quite a number of persons have inquired about expediting work permits for especially technical and professional workers of a skilled nature, engineers, architects, etc., etc., and more importantly, skilled workers in the construction and other related fields, and have asked if we can do anything to facilitate that. And certainly the department is doing its level best and putting the necessary infrastructure in place to be able to facilitate those processes. The Premier mentioned the tourism industry and the fact that one company is definitely will be bringing in a large number of boats. You are well aware that there are a number of sunken yachts in our waters, and the Ministry of Natural Resources and Labor, with due concern for the environment, have been holding meetings with the charter yacht industry and other related individuals to see how best we can mitigate against especially oil spills from the boats that have sunk. And there's good cooperation between both private and the public sector to ensure that whatever risks are there involved would be minimized. We are working also diligently on that front to ensure that the Premier's desire to have the charter yacht industry up and functioning as soon as possible, that is realized. But you're well aware that we have to pay very careful attention to the issues surrounding the environment. Those are the issues that I would wish to highlight at this point in time.
Thank you very much, Honorable Pickering. We'll now hear from Honorable Skelton, Minister for Health.
Let me try and make my two colleagues who spoke before me and thank the media for the work that they are doing to get the message out to the general public. I would like to thank Jehovah God for his kind mercies and for our spared lives. We all went through one of the most catastrophic natural disasters that have ever occurred, I must say, in the Caribbean, Category 5 hurricane. Our job as government and as leaders is to try to get the country back up, running stronger than it has been before. It's going to take time. There's no easy fix to this exercise. And I would like to, before anything else, thank the donor agencies who have responded so quickly to assist us. And what I refer to those responsibilities under my portfolio, health and social services. I would like to thank the relief agencies for helping us to get food and relief to some of the more needy communities, especially in our sister islands, like the Royal Marines, the Metropolitan Police, and police force from the various Caribbean islands. I must also thank the many volunteers who have came into Peebles to volunteer their services, who have given of their time to man the shelters, to get food relief to the various distribution centers. They all play a very important and valuable part in getting especially the poor the needed things that they needed. I would like to thank the People's Hospital staff for the long hours, you know, the hurricane. Most of the staff lived here, as a matter of fact, and they have given the service that we expected them to give. They're tired, they're short-staffed. We are trying to get assistance from some of our colleagues in the other Caribbean islands and as far out as Cayman. And the many waste management workers who you have seen on the street from morning till late evening, picking the garbage and getting all the various metals and tree trunks and stuff off the roads. I know they didn't do it alone. They had the assistance of the Minister of Communication and Works and his team. And we continue to collect garbage from off the streets, from in communities. And I would like to plead with the various individuals. Let us start by cleaning our part of the neck of the woods of the our properties. Get it piled. We will come and collect it once it's piled. And let us start by cleaning our community. And I think if we do that, we'll be on the road to a good recovery. Like I said, the road ahead is long from a health and social services perspective. There are many donors who have basically pledged their contribution both to places like the Red Cross and to the government social development services to assist the very vulnerable in our society. The Dean of Donovan's home, it's given first priority to get it up, back fixed and up and running for the elderly in our society. The hospital itself withstand what it was designed to do, you know, Category 5 hurricane. They have broken glasses, they have damages, but that is expected from flying debris. It's now the being used as the brain, the NEOC. And I show some of you who have been in the center next door have seen what we are doing. It's a 911 center we were setting up to make sure that we do search and rescue. When you call for help, that the ambulance, fire, police, everyone can get to you. The relief that is going to be going to the most vulnerable in our society, it's very important that those of us who can help ourselves need to do so, so that the government can concentrate on helping those who can't help themselves. And I know the donor agencies will want us to do this. So if you see us helping your neighbor and not helping you, don't get angry with us. We have help. We have gotten help to help your neighbor and not everybody. So, but the government will continue, as the premier mentioned, to do what it can do to duty-free custom duty relief, zero import duty on building material, furnishing, and so forth, so we can get people back in their homes. There is a need for temporary housing. There is an urgent need for temporary housing. We have the shelters, and I know people can't live in shelters long-term. They need to be able to get some level of temporary housing while they rebuild the permanent homes.
Like my colleagues before me, I'd like to thank very much the members of the media for the excellent work that I think you're doing in sending the message across, not just to the local population here, but to also tell the story of life here in the Virgin Islands post-Hurricane Irma. Very much like you, I am grateful to God for sparing my life to be here today. We went through a very traumatic experience with the passage of Hurricane Irma, but we are still here, and we must say to God be the glory. Even though we've experienced an unfortunate situation, we must still sing our praises to God because it could have been worse. Those of us listening now and those who will hear this press conference later on were fortunate enough to make it, and we have life. Having life is the most important thing. The material things will come back in the fullness of time. I'd like to also take this time to extend my condolences to the families that lost loved ones during the passage of the hurricane. Our thoughts and prayers are with you during this time. We have lost a lot, my people, but we have an opportunity to gain much more, and we must seize that opportunity. We have the chance of a lifetime to collectively rebuild our country in the way in which we want it to be. There are many things pre-Hurricane Irma that we didn't do right. We have a chance now to reset the button and correct those things. We have a chance to properly organize and foster the redevelopment of the new territory of the Virgin Islands together. So even in our despair, I am encouraged and I ask you to join me and this government with that same level of enthusiasm so that we can rebuild together. We must now harness our collective energies to make this territory even greater than it was before. During times of difficulty, it is very easy for fear, cynicism, and confusion to creep in. But now is the time for all of us who call these islands home to put whatever differences we might have aside and focus solely on what is important. That is rebuilding the Virgin Islands together. That is making these Virgin Islands greater than they were before. We are now in the very early stages of our recovery plan, and we see education as an indispensable feature in this regard. I've been holding meetings with my senior staff from a few days following Irma, and we've held many meetings with other external agencies in an effort to get the education sector moving again. We've had meetings with a number of non-governmental agencies such as Convoy of Hope, UNICEF, Arkansas University, University of the West Indies, and others. And in addition, we have received support from organizations with cleanup and rebuilding. Those organizations include Team Rubicon, Catholic Relief Services, the UK military, and others. Following the passage of Hurricane Irma, I dispatched a team to look at schools. The same exercise was done subsequently by DDM. The schools that we have looked at that we have deemed to be usable schools are Willard Whitley Primary School, the Virgin Islands School of Technical Studies, Atheist Catliff Primary School, Ebenezer Thomas Primary School, Francis Letson Primary School, Joyce Samuel Primary School, Claudia Creakey Educational Center, Regatta Flax Educational Center, the Primary Division, Robinson O'Neill Memorial Primary School, Alexandrina Maduro School, and the Ivan Dawson Primary School. From the meetings that I've had with the senior officials in my ministry, we have set some target dates because we really want to get school moving as quickly as we possibly can. We intend by the 5th of October to have the students who are 3 to 8 years old involved in an educational program throughout the island. We also intend by the 5th of October to have grades 11 and 12 functioning. My team tells me that we can also get grade 10 functioning as well by that time. Certainly we want to give priority to grades 11 and 12 because these students have to sit regional examinations, CSEC and CAPE, and the quicker we can get them settled, the better it is for us. We intend by the 6th of November to have all schools and all grades functioning. Obviously, it wouldn't function in the way that it was before, but in a shift system, UNICEF has committed some very large tents to us that we can use as well to supplement the existing infrastructure of the schools. As I said, it'll be a shift system. The academic year will be adjusted, so the academic year will start effective November 5th. And of course, we will have to relax the term breaks so that we don't lose instructional days throughout the period of time. I intend to meet with all ministry staff and all teachers and all persons who are involved in education at 12 o'clock today at Save the Seed, because I have to see what the mental state is like for all our teachers. You know, we have a significant number of teachers who are on contract. We need to know if they're still here and if they're willing to stay. But even if the vast majority of teachers who are on contract leave, I think with the local cohort that we have, we can still put it off in the time frames that I've mentioned. We're going to be reaching out to persons in the community to help us. And particularly, even before Hurricane Irma, there were some communities that took ownership of the schools, and we're going to be calling on them to assist us in this regard as well, to come out and help us to get things going. We intend as well, and you would have known before Hurricane Irma, that the use of technology was a major part of our education program. We were heading in that direction. Our digital textbook program that we started will now prove to be very invaluable to us because they won't require the use of the internet. They've already been shipped to us, and they should be here to us in about a week and a half, 2 weeks, barring no issues. We had also launched our Learning Hub program, which again is proving to be invaluable to us. We are making sure that we put all the content. We've done a good job on it, but we want to make sure that all the content is there so that persons who can access the hub to supplement the shortened days in schools. We're going to be waiving the subscription fee for parents on the Learning Hub as well, so that all persons can have access to it. The Caribbean Examination Council recently put together an online content portal for senior school across the Caribbean following the CXC syllabus. We're going to be subscribing to that, and we're going to be waiving the fee as well for all the senior school students. So at least using technology, we can supplement the shortened days for students. So we believe we have a very robust plan that we can deliver in the time frame. Of course, the quality would not be the same quality like it would have been before then, because we have to look at the curriculum and see what we can practically deliver in terms of instructions based on the teachers and the skill sets that we have. But I think, particularly for senior school, we should be able to have those students ready for the examinations. I'm also responsible for the prison. As you know, we had a breach of the compound, significant damage to the property. 143 prisoners found themselves outside the walls of the institution. All have returned except for six. The six that are outstanding are low-risk prisoners, and I'm taking this opportunity again to ask them to turn themselves in. I am aware that there were some prisoners who were involved in antisocial behavior during the aftermath of Hurricane Irma, but I'm also aware that there were some prisoners who were extremely helpful, who were out in the community doing well. And as odd as this may sound, I want to really thank those prisoners very much who went out into the communities and made a contribution. As Honorable Skelton rightly said, that it's going to be a tough road ahead for us. It's going to take a while. We're going to be uncomfortable. Many of us will want to complain. Many of us will complain. But the reality is that we must not lose sight of what is important. The important thing now is for all of us here in the Virgin Islands to work together to rebuild our country. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Owen. And we will now hear from the Minister of Communication and Works, Honorable Mark.
Thank you very much. Greetings to our good press corps here, and greetings to CVI residents and those residents all over the world, our PVI community all over the world, and those others who have been very helpful to us. I want to thank again, as other ministers did, the press here in the BVI who have been able to communicate our messages out there to let people know the devastation we have suffered and the strength and resilience that we have, that we will rebuild and we will rise together. I also want to take this opportunity to thank those BVI landers and others who love the BVI overseas, who in the very early stages were very instrumental in getting our message out. Our families, our friends, and a lot of visitors who've lived here for many years, who have visited here for many years, and who are caring enough to get the message out, but also try to get assistance to us as best we can. So we want to thank them. I'd like to emphasize this because there were persons, one gentleman who met me at the airport many years ago, I didn't even know who he was, called me, got a call into me and said, I met you at the airport somewhere, and I want you to know that we're out here. Let us know what you need. Tell us a place that we can send stuff to, and we will help. His name is Chuck. I want to thank him. Thank those in that vein. We also want to thank, as many persons said, those who have been giving us aid and assistance. We want to thank the United Kingdom government for responding very quickly with assistance with the ships that came in to help us get around to see what was happening to our sister islands, and also helping us to take aid and assistance to those in need in those areas via helicopter and so on. We believe very strongly that we have had an experience that hopefully we won't have again here in the BVI, and hopefully not any of the other Caribbean islands or anywhere in the world have experienced a Category 5 hurricane as the extent that we did. I don't know if it's even a Category 5. It's probably more than that. It's the new norm. But we want to thank God that through this, we suffered some loss of lives. We want to give us sympathy to those families who have suffered those, but it could have been worse. And we want to thank him that he spared many of our lives from destruction as it was so serious. We have, however, very quickly after both Irma and Maria taken a very positive focus in rebuilding our country, all of us in the areas that we're responsible for, and in the area that the Ministry of Communication and Works is responsible for, we have been very positive in getting things up and running, most likely less than any other, most likely less worried, but more positive to be able to get as many things up and running, especially areas that we are concerned about in the infrastructure. If I start from the roads, fortunately, the roads have not been destroyed very much more than we suffered in the flood just before Hurricane Irma. So the structural integrity of the roads are reasonably well. They will suffer some major potholes and so on from the water that is on the road, but we are going to be tackling that as early as possible. But the structural integrity is not much worse than what we had after the flood. We have some very precarious areas on the roads that we want to encourage residents to be careful with still. As we try to tackle those, it will take a little time as we get the structural engineering back on track there. The flooding issues that we have suffered, we are trying to tackle those as quickly as possible. We were able to clear the bridges and the guts as quickly as possible before these two storms, especially the guts before Hurricane Maria. So the water flowed pretty well, but we are going to be trying to look at the longer term effects of how our bridges and our guts are to be able to improve that in these events. And the area that is probably most interested to our residents and to our people is the area of electricity. First of all, as you may know by now, we had in our long-term planning previously, we planted the infrastructure for electricity in the city area underground, so that pretty soon, after a couple of days after Hurricane Irma, we were able to get the essential services back up around the city, hospital especially, back on the power grid, and the commercial centers as we inspect them. The banks have been on now, I believe, and other commercial areas in town. Once we inspect the buildings and they're able to receive power, there is power coming from the Pocket Power and Power Station to these areas. The Electricity Corporation was very quick also to extend power that from a line that ran underground to a place called Jean Hill just beyond Bargers Bay. They were able to put power lines from there to Parapita Bay. And eventually we're going to get it to Long Swamp and so on to get the water system running through the water desalination plant in Parapita Bay. That has been done. water is being desalinated and pumped to the Sabbath Hill Reservoir and other areas. They also work to get power to the Barbie plant through a generator that we reinstalled there so that water can be distributed to the eastern area. I'll come back to water, but electricity is now continuing the next phase of their rebuild, where they're moving, if you look along the Church Isle Road, they're beginning to move power along those lines to get the other essential services up, such as supermarkets and other areas that are essential to the recovery. They're also beginning to try to recover the main central areas of population. And so they will be using, bringing in more poles overseas that we have ordered, along with lines that should be here in about 2 weeks' time, as well as trying to bring in more manpower from the assistance we are expecting to get from the other Caribbean islands. They were on their way here, in fact, prior to Maria, but the advent of Maria caused some of those to return to their stations in Dominica, for example, and other areas that have been heavily hit. So our manpower that we're expecting has been reduced, but they're beginning to come in slowly from places like Cayman Islands, Bermuda, Jamaica, St. Vincent, and some other countries. Some of them arrived already, some are arriving on Saturday, tomorrow, to help us rebuild the infrastructure of the electricity. I cannot give you a specific time frame, but I know we're expecting that most of the heavily, densely populated areas should be back up and running within a 3 to 4 month period, and most of the country should be back up and operating on electric power in the next 6 months. So that's the time frame that is projected for electricity. However, the central areas, the heavily populated areas, we're trying to push to get them up and running within 90 days from the advent of Irma. So hopefully by the end of the year, we have most of it back up and operating. On the subject of water, like I said earlier, we have gotten the main water plants up and running, especially the one in Parakita Bay and the one in the Barbie plant in East End. They have been producing water already. Yesterday we released some water for 2 hours. It gave us a little idea of where the big leaks are. We've been tackling those. But we will be trying to release water to the general public in the central area and the eastern area, and some of it hopefully in Tikau Bay, on a 2 hour basis or so for the next couple of weeks until we get it up and running, so that you can have water and fill up. And then gradually we will be increasing that supply to longer times in the day as we get things running a little more smoothly. The Virgin Gorda and the Sister Islands, the Virgin Gorda plant has been hit pretty hard that we had there. I know we are arranging to send a ship to Curacao to collect a temporary plant that we have identified there to come in. The plant is available to be shipped next Monday. We're trying to bring that plant with 200,000 gallons per day supply for Virgin Gorda, and we're trying to get that in as soon as possible to take care of Virgin Gorda. We also, with the help of the military, are trying to fly in a 40,000 gallon plant per day plant to come in to assist our Jos van Dyke residents. So that is in train that we're working with the military on to fly that in to us from the United Kingdom. Other than that, we are also looking at a plant that we're going to bring in, a 200,000 gallon plant that we're sourcing to put in the Sikau Bay area to assist that side, that western end of the island, to have water on a regular basis. We are investigating the Kapunzu plant right now to see how and what we can do to get up there running also. So generally, water should be available to most residents in the next 30 years or so. Some is available already, but we should have water available to most residents within the next 30 to 45 days. Throughout the territory as best we can. On the subject of cleanup, as you know, we started that just after Irma. We had to stop and go into a prepared more for Maria. We have restarted the cleanup. I know residents around the villages having concerns. We are trying our best to get it done. Unfortunately, the movement of our vehicles and so on is impeded by the traffic that is horrendous right now. But we are still trying to work through that to clean up all the villages and along the roadsides as best we can. As one minister said, we're asking the community to work around your area, around your house, clean up around your house, and one, two, three, if you all help, get the galvanized and all those things as quickly as you can on the roadside, we will get it cleaned up. As long as we get it from in your around your houses to the road, we will be able to get it moving to the various sites that we are handling it. So if each community, each person, one by one can help, that's what I'm preaching, we will be able to get our communities cleaned up as quickly as possible. If you wait for the government and wait for public works and wait for the help to clean up around every home and every street, it won't happen. We want to ask help from everyone to help to get it to one pile, and we will move it from there as quickly as possible. So that's the effort on the cleanup area that we are doing, and we want to encourage residents to work together. We are very positive that our country will be back. We expect the economy to build back very quickly. As I told some workers, if you were probably an office worker or a worker in a hotel, you might have to learn some skills in the construction side for now to be able to continue working to help us to rebuild our country. But one by one, day by day, together, we believe very strongly that the BVI will rise. Thank you.
You've been listening to audio from a press conference held on Friday, September 22nd, with updates from all ministers of government. We invite you to stay informed of all government's efforts following the passage of Hurricanes Irma and Maria by visiting the Department of Disaster Management's website, bvidm.com, and also their Facebook page, bvidm.